Hello and welcome back to the Keep Her Lit podcast with me, your host, Tara Gallagher. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Keep Her Lit podcast. Today we are going to talk a little bit about how you can maintain your body image whenever you are dieting. So I just want to start off at the very beginning of this podcast by saying body image is a spectrum. I do think that a lot of people, pretty much everyone at some point, will struggle a little bit with body image, but there's obviously people out there who may be listening to this who are struggling a lot. So what I'm talking about may not specifically relate to you, but it does relate to essentially anyone who is in a diet or dieting, or maybe who has been stuck in that culture for a long time and really struggles maybe with their their body image. Because obviously a lot of the time when we struggle with our body image, we think that in order for us to fix our body image, what we need to do is to diet, and that is not the answer. So obviously there's things that you might need to do, work on your relationship with yourself, with food, and this will not specifically be about that, but I just want to address some patterns maybe, and also talk about how you can genuinely maintain your relationship with food and with your body image when you are dieting. If you are somebody who doesn't severely struggle with this, you might struggle a little bit with it. You may tamper with, I always say dabble, because even myself, I know that working in this industry and working with lots and lots of clients, it is a little bit normal to be preoccupied with your body, especially when dieting, because you're focusing on your body and you need to understand that. It is kind of normal in a sense of I don't want to say it's normal, but it's a wee bit normal to be more preoccupied when you're dieting, because the research shows that, because you're focusing, as I said, on your body. So what can we essentially do to overcome that? Because as I said, dieting will not fix your relationship with food. It will not fix your relationship with your body. There is, as again, a spectrum, like I said. So for somebody, understanding dieting and understanding what fat loss is and understanding the mechanics behind it and the science behind it and the fact even that you can eat all foods in your diet, and why the scales fluctuate, etc., might really, really help some people. Education might help some people heal themselves, and other people might need to actually go to therapy. So as I said, it's a very wide spectrum, but I'm going to talk to the people who don't suffer a lot with their body image, but may have days where they're struggling a little bit, or maybe even they're on a dieting phase and they're I don't really want to focus so much on my body, because I know that I'll get into that trap, and I've been there before, and it's not a nice thing. So what do we need to do in order to essentially maintain it whenever we are in a diet and whenever we are focusing on our body? Because I also want to say that there is nothing wrong with wanting to diet. There's nothing wrong with being in a calorie deficit. There's nothing wrong with wanting to change your body. And people are so quick to be you should accept yourself, you should be perfect. I personally think that you need to accept yourself for where you are, and then if you want to, and it's your idea of the better version of yourself to be something else or to achieve something else, then that's on you. There's nobody else out there who should have an opinion on that. And I just think that we are in an age where you can't do anything. If you want to diet, then you're in trouble. If you don't want to diet, then you're lazy. It's just absolutely ludicrous. But at the end of the day, it's entirely up to you what you want to do. So never feel bad about it. Never ever feel bad about it. But as long as you are doing it in a healthy way and it's good for you, then you are all for it. I'm all for you doing whatever you want to do. Okay, but what I do think is really, really important is to have a bigger goal than just your body. And the reason I say this is because there might be somebody, but probably not listening to this, that is very, very, very strict on their diet. And that's okay. When you see somebody who goes through a very strict shred period, and I'm talking they're already kind of lean, and then they lean up, and essentially they might be a health and fitness coach, and even if not, they might just be somebody who is super into it, nearly into bodybuilding style training and nutrition. You should not compare yourself to them, because you're not them, right? But that's also not your goal. For the most people who are listening to this podcast, or to be honest, for majority of my clients, they are not looking to step onto a stage and be a bikini competitor. That's not what they're after. What they're after is to essentially maybe lose a few pounds, maybe even more, maybe lose a good few kg, get healthier, get fitter, maybe fit into a dress, maybe feel more comfortable in their skin, run for the first time, lift heavier weights for the first time or for the 10th time, or push through that plateau that they've been through for years, or finally understand the why behind what they're doing. But their goal ultimately is to maybe buy a bikini, but not stand on a stage in one. You know, like there's a difference there. And you need to also understand that, because a lot of people's lifestyle will not be able for the fact that you need to be super, really, really, really strict. You know, like that just might not be your goal, and you don't understand that you need to sacrifice a fucking lot of your life if you want to get into that area where you're like super shredded, super, super lean all of the time. You need to understand that that requires a lot of sacrifice, and a lot of sacrifice which you're probably not willing to give up. I personally know that I'm not willing, like I'm not willing flat out. I know I've been there, worn the t-shirt of being in the body that was like quote unquote like, oh my god, you look amazing, you've got abs, like etc, etc, but like I had no period, I had no health, I had no sex drive, I had like was afraid to go out for food, was always counting every single thing I did, and that to me is not balanced, but that for somebody else might be okay, you know. So that's what I'm saying, it's a spectrum of things, okay? But I know from, again, working with a lot of people and myself included, even whenever I go on a diet, my preoccupation of my body is obviously more, because as again, you are focusing on your physique. But what you need to do, and what I would encourage everyone to do, is have another goal outside that that's slightly bigger, okay? Because we often overlook this. And what I mean is like goals in the sense of like maybe it's for your health, or maybe it's for like being able to run with your kids for the first time or pick them up, or maybe it's to like be sexy as fuck at 50 and feel your best at 50 because you went through a few years where you just weren't really feeling yourself and now you want to get back into it. Maybe your overall goal is to be able to run a half marathon. Maybe your overall goal is to lift weights for the first time or go into the weights area for the first time. Or maybe your goal is to just feel more energetic about life. Maybe it's to be able to understand nutrition a little bit more. Maybe it's to be able to feel sexy when the lights go off. Maybe it's to be able to go for a walk or walk up the stairs without getting outside of breath. Like it has to be a little bit bigger. And we also need to understand that like we live in an age and an era and like a culture and a society that is severely overweight and severely putting pressure on our medical system because of the lifestyles that we're living. Like we're sitting down more than ever, we are eating more processed food, we are not really doing anything about our health, and then we're waiting till it's too late. And as always, obviously prevention is better than cure, and I'm not saying that being really, really small or being really skinny or going on a fat loss phase or whatever is going to cure that, but a lot of the time the habits that get you there will be very good habits for your health. So also tying that in together, that understanding, a lot of the time when people go on fat loss phase, they actually tend to improve their health because they are eating more whole dense foods, they are moving a lot more, they are prioritizing some form of training, exercise, which we know is literally the best thing for your overall health. They're sleeping better, they're probably drinking less alcohol, eating less takeouts, etc. And quote, I said less, I didn't say like none, but just understand that overall it is probably going to improve your health. So having a focus that's not just like I want to be X number of pounds, or I want to be like a certain weight, or I want to look a certain way, like I want to look like Chrissy Chala, for example. You need to have something that's a little bit bigger than that and a little bit bigger than the why, so that you can focus on that whenever you feel like your focus is drifting too much towards your body. And these are just very, very simple, and these are maybe something that you want to consider if you're like, I've never done like a fat loss phase before. Because as I said, there will be people out there listening to this being like, that doesn't work for me. Like I'm not saying too far gone, but like you need help with your relationship with food. And if that's the case, then I would recommend going to either your doctor or a coach who specializes in that, or even a therapist who might be able to help you with that. But these are just general points that everyone can try and see if they help, because as I said, it is something that's kind of normal. And it's not normal that we become obsessed, that's not what I mean, but it's like normal to be a little bit more preoccupied, you know. The next one that I would say is, as I was saying, like an overall arching goal, like maybe a why behind what you're doing. But a second one would be a performance goal, and performance goals are so freaking underrated. Like I cannot tell you how underrated performance goals are. And I think when people think of performance goals, they're like, oh no, I don't want one because I've never gone to the gym before, like I don't want a performance goal. But I'm saying like your performance goal could literally be getting you into the gym 3 times a week, or it could be like doing your first ever lat pull down, or it could be doing your first ever push up, or it could be using the squat rack for the first time. Like that could be your performance goal. Or for somebody else, it might be running a 5k or a 10k or a half marathon. Or no, I wouldn't always recommend running a half marathon and being in a calorie deficit, because obviously you've got high energy demands coming towards your race. But what I mean is just like a performance goal. Like is your performance goal to like lift a 50 kg squat, or like a deadlift something heavy, or do your first pull up or your chin up? Having a performance goal, and not just for like fat loss, but in general, will improve the functionality of your body or your cognition to the function of your body so much better. And it will just make you feel like there's more purpose to your life and more purpose to your journey. Whenever you focus on the functionality of your body, because you'll start to understand. And when I say functionality, it's like what your body does for you. So you'll start to understand that like your body is a fucking incredible vessel. Like it's insane. Like your body does everything for you. And I was actually listening to a Joe Rogan podcast earlier, and he was like, I keep trying to tell people that like your body is like a race car. And if you obviously look after that race car, like you train it, if you like oil it well, if you keep it well, like it'll get faster and like the engine will start to work better. And as a result, like you're in a faster race car than you were before, etc. Like it doesn't just happen that way. And it's so true. Like you need to think of yourself as like a car, but like you can make the car go faster, go better, work more efficiently, etc. If you look after it and if you train it. So I think people underestimate the functionality of their body, not just for like a physical well-being, but I'm talking about like being able to lift your groceries from the shop into your house, being able to walk up the stairs, being able to move your furniture whenever you're moving house. Like I always think that, like I'm like, I don't need another man to help my boyfriend. Like I'm well able, like if not stronger than most men, to go and lift my own shit. You know what I mean? Like, and to me, that's fucking the hottest shit. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that's invaluable because I don't want to ever rely on somebody else to be able to do that for me. I can do that for myself. I can also self-defend myself if I ever needed to. Hopefully, touch wood, that would never happen. But like, I'm well able and I'm strong enough and I'm fit enough and I'm healthy enough that I can do that. And that's really important to me. And I think that that is so underrated. It's also underrated to focus on the functionality of our bodies for like what they do in just in our day-to-day lives. Like I'm standing here recording this podcast. Without my mouth, I wouldn't be able to talk. Without my voice box, I wouldn't be able to speak. Without my heart, I wouldn't be able to be here. You know what I mean? Like everything like ties into each other. And I think we underestimate that. Like my arms allow me to hug. My voice allows me to tell like friends advice. My ears allow me to listen when they need somebody. Like focusing on the functionality of your body can show you that it's so much more than what it looks like. And I think that that's so underrated and something that we don't talk about enough in the industry, is just focusing on our overall functionality of our body. So even now, like you might find it really hard to think 10 things I love about myself, but if you can think of like 10 things I'm grateful for my body that it allows me to do, you will find the 10 things. Because like my fingers allow me to type, my hands allow me to open the door for somebody, as I said, my ears allow me to listen, my mouth allows me to teach, my brain allows me to think. Like all of these things focus on the functionality of your body, and it's so, so, so underrated. So that's another thing with performance goals. You'll start to like want the performance side of things. And a lot of the time people who do that often find that they're like, the fat loss kind of comes secondary. They're just kind of like, I want to get this chin up. And then they realize like, actually, if they probably build muscle and drop a few pounds, the chin up will get easier because they're lighter to pull themselves up and they're stronger. So like it all ties in on top of each other. And yeah, it's just one thing that I think is like the most underrated thing ever. Personally, I will always have a performance goal. No matter what my physique goals are, performance goals are always going to come like side by side, if not ahead, because they're so important for me to just take the focus off my body. Because for too many years, all I thought about was like being smaller and skinnier and leaner and with a six pack. And I wouldn't give a shit if I couldn't like squat my body weight or lift a door. Like I didn't care about that. I only cared about like how I physically look. Whereas now it's the opposite. Okay. And I understand that for a lot of people it'll be hard to get from A to B, like from focusing on your body to focusing on that, but you can focus on both at the same time, or even try, and I promise you, you will find it a lot easier because you're focusing on something else that's not just your body, so you're not constantly preoccupied with your head and your body. Oh, I'm on a roll today. Anyway, the next thing that I would strongly recommend is journaling. And I know I talk about this a lot, but journaling can really, really help you on bad body image days. I use journaling a lot whenever I had hypothalamic amenorrhea. So whenever I had bad body image days, but it was like the opposite of fat loss, I was trying to gain a lot of weight in order for my body to restore itself. Now, I found that I probably experienced the exact same thoughts even when I was gaining weight than I did when I was losing weight. Because obviously when you are losing weight, like you've got body dysmorphia nearly, you're like, you think you're bigger than you are. Whereas whenever you are gaining weight, I nearly thought, again, I was bigger than I was. So it was like the same thing I was experiencing, but I was in two different phases. But yeah, I would say that journaling really, really helped me there, because I was basically able to take the thoughts that were constantly in my head. And I did not want to say them out loud, right? That was the thing with body image and with like body dysmorphia. You don't actually want to really talk to people about it. If you have a coach maybe that you feel like you could open up to, that's incredible, or like a family or a friend. But sometimes people will like mask you with an eating disorder straight away, or they'll be like, you need a da-da-da, and like they're too harsh, and they don't understand that it's just like maybe for some people only a little bit. It's like just they have these thoughts. Obviously if it's going past the verge of like this is happening all the time, again, definitely seek help. But what I'm saying is just in general, journaling can help you get the thoughts out and speak to not somebody, but like speak outside of your own head, get it on the paper, rationalize it, become aware of it, and ask yourself, is this true? Like that was always what I said to myself. I was like, Tara, like, is what you're saying about yourself or what you're doing right now, like, is it true? Like, you know, you're saying XYZ about your body or XYZ about yourself and you're struggling with your body image this week, but like, what's going to make you more comfortable? What is your goal? What is your why? And then I would come back to that and I was like, okay, yeah, actually, I can focus on like my health. And like, that was my overarching goal, because the hard thing about hypothalamic amenorrhea was that personally, I was under fueling and over exercising. So I couldn't even focus on performance, because if I focused on performance, that was putting more stress on my body. So it was like, I can't focus on my body and I can't focus on performance. What I do, I focus on. So I had to shift my focus onto my overall health, and overall my health, what it wanted at the time was a lot more restoration, a lot more calming, a lot more meditation, a lot more walks, a lot more journaling, a lot more Netflix, a lot more mindfulness. And I had to remind myself of that why as well. So that's why you have to have an overarching goal. And then my performance goal, it just switched. I was like, okay, what you're going to do now instead is you're just going to go lighter, you're going to focus on really improving your form, you're going to go slower, you're just going to go through the motions, go through the movements, maybe try a few new things every week and keep yourself interested but not overworked, right? So you have to have, as I said, that overarching goal. You can still have a performance goal inside that, and journaling can really, really help you to work on your body image. So I will leave some body image prompts actually in the description of this so that you can try them if you ever feel like you're struggling with your body image. It's absolutely no problem. They're, like, you can Google them if you want, but I'll write a few in the description below of this podcast and hopefully that'll be helpful for you. And whenever you are in the journaling phase, as I said, you need to start challenging and then shutting down the negative self-talk. So whenever you get to a point where like maybe you are having a little bit of a bad body image day or whatever, like sometimes you'll feel like you have to sit in the emotion. I think that we don't talk about that enough. Like sometimes you're just having a really bad day and you're like, this is not good. Like I just, maybe it's towards your period and you're feeling a little bit more bloated and it's not like consuming your whole day, but you just don't feel good, right? You need to like, again, become aware of it and then challenge it. So ask yourself, is it true? And then like shut it down, like shut it the fuck down, being like, listen, this is not true. Like you are literally being absolutely ludicrous. And sometimes, as I said, our head are writing stories in our head that's not even true. So you can write a new story and you'd be like, actually, well, that is not true. And today I did tick off X, Y, and Z. And I am working really hard on my overall health and my overall performance. And yes, the scale this week did not read down. It just stayed the same. But I did have my boyfriend's birthday and I did go really heavy in the gym and my sleep hasn't been that great. So maybe that's why. So I'm not gonna panic and I'm being rational and I'm gonna move on from it as well. Okay. So that's really, really important. And then the final thing that I would say, and again, I understand that these are not, I have a wee crystal and a wee like pad of crystals over there, and every so often one falls off and I'm like, is somebody trying to speak to me? People are probably like, you're so weird, Tara. Anyway, the last thing that I'm gonna speak about is where and what makes you feel comfortable. But before I speak about that, I just wanted to go back and say that, as I said, and what I'm talking about in this is obviously how our tips for like maintaining your body image when you're dieting, or your relationship with food when you're dieting. And I understand, as I said, I don't want anyone to take this being like, Tara said that like if I just do these things I'll be fixed, and that's not the case. If you are really struggling, as I've said, definitely reach out to a professional. Sometimes people will come to me who are suffering really badly with their relationship with food, and I'll just say, I'm so sorry, but we can't work together because that's not within my scope of practice. I believe that like X, Y, or Z would be able to help you a lot better. Please go and talk to them. I can even tell them that you want to talk to them if you wish. Because obviously I have a lot of coach friends who do specialize in that as well, who would be far more equipped to help you. But I'm talking about the people who are just like getting a little bit preoccupied with their body, a little bit preoccupied with food whenever they're in a dieting phase, because as I said, it's a wee bit normal. And I think when we're aware of that, then we can be easier, because then we can equip ourselves with these tools and move forward from it. Okay, so I don't want you to think I'm blanketing everyone, because I'm definitely not. So yeah, the last little thing was just about wearing what makes you feel comfortable. And this is so underrated. I'm the kind of person that I don't believe that you need any certain equipment. I don't even think you need a gym membership if you want to get into health and fitness. I don't think you need to be a Gymshark queen or, you know, like up with the latest trends or like five pairs of different shoes. Like when I first started my gym journey, I bought a pair of shoes that I was like, I think I can lift in these and I think I can run in these. So that works well for me, right? Ideally, because I'm like, I would say been going for a long time and it's important to me, I'll wear flat shoes like Metcons or Converse when I lift weights, and when I'm running I'll wear my Hokas because that's what works for me, right? But when I first started, I didn't need those things. So what I want to say is like, it should be accessible and it should be open to everyone, but it is really important that you wear clothes that you feel comfortable in. Like, just because everyone's wearing sports bras and shorts to the gym, if you don't feel comfortable and confident that day, girly, do not be doing it, lads. It's not worth it for yourself. Like, I sometimes go to the gym and I'm just like, I should have just wore a baggy t-shirt today because I just don't feel like myself. And now I've pushed myself outside to wear something else, but I still don't feel comfortable myself. So I should have just wore what I wanted to wear. And like, I'm all about embracing yourself, like on bad body image days, to wear like the thing that you're like, you know, push yourself outside your comfort zone. But if it's gonna actually trigger you fucking more, don't do it. Like, just wear a baggy t-shirt. Like, when I run, personally, I don't love wearing super tight, super cropped things. I just don't love it. So I'll just wear a baggy tee. And it's fine. Nobody's caring. Nobody's worrying. And that's all good. I'll make sure I'm wearing like long bicycle shorts. They're not the hottest things in the world because my legs chafe together. But that's fine. I'm comfortable in that. And I don't care about what anybody else is doing. So always make sure you wear things that are comfortable and make you feel comfortable, especially on a body image day that you're not feeling your best self. Because it's super, super important that you feel comfortable and confident in all of your clothes, not just in gym clothes, but in even in clothes that you're wearing. And this also applies for like the other side of things, like if you're maybe not fitting into certain clothes and you're pushing your body into them. I would really recommend, because this is what happened to me when I had HA, I actually went up an entire one or two clothes sizes. And for me, it was really, really hard because I would be like, I'll just say, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm like in between an 8 and a 10, probably more towards a 10. I would say, like, you know how it's like, what is it, 26, 28? I'm like a 27. Like, if there was a 9, I would be a 9. And I never in my life have gone above a UK 10, really. Like, some clothes, obviously, like, I would buy a UK 14, 16, 12, but predominantly this is my sizes, right? Like, this is just what I wore. And I found it really hard because when I had HA, I couldn't fit into my jeans, which were a UK 10. And, like, I wear kind of baggy-ish jeans, so I had to go up to a UK 12. And for me, I really struggled with that just because I had never done that before. And it was something that was very new for me. And like, aside from like fat loss, etc., my body just never really, like, I'm kind of short. I'm like 5'4", 5'3", I'm not even sure. Aside from that, like, even before I ever got into dieting or fat loss or whatever, like when I was a kid, my body just always stayed around a UK 10. And that was just what I was. So I did struggle a lot with that. So I was like, either Tara, you stay in the UK size 10 clothes that don't fit you anymore, feel extremely uncomfortable because anytime you go to dinner, like the buttons are like pushing against your belly, or what you do is you go ahead and just buy new clothes. And I'm not talking a whole new wardrobe. I bought like one pair of jeans, maybe one or two pairs of jeans, like a black pair and a blue pair. My leggings and stuff were fine and all my jumpers were oversized anyway, so that was fine, but it was my jeans. And I was like, Tara, you're going to feel so much more comfortable and nobody knows what size you're wearing. And I did that and nobody knew, nobody cared, like nobody cared. And it was all in my head. And then I was like, girl, you've got this, like you're absolutely fine, you know? And I think that's just really important to say as well. Like, it's on the other side of things. Like, if you are struggling to fit in things, it's not to say like you have to get rid of your whole other clothes. I never got rid of my other clothes. My clothes that were like really, really small from when I was really, really small, I got rid of. But like my normal quote unquote clothes that I fit into, I was just like, just keep them. You can maybe get into them in a while. And then I did. So it's fine. Like, it's no big deal. And I just think that that's really important to understand as well. It's just like, you should never be wearing clothes that make you feel uncomfortable in yourself, and you don't have to force yourself into things. And buying one pair of jeans that are like 20 quid in H&M will actually be more valuable to you than saying like, oh, I can't afford a new pair of jeans, because it will be eating you up inside, you know what I mean? So I think that that's really important as well. Now, what I haven't really touched on in this podcast, because this is more about like maintaining your body image, but like relationship with food, I haven't really touched on. I think I briefly mentioned a few things, just about saying like, if you have a poor relationship with food or you suffer with your relationship with food, that you also may need to consider obviously speaking with somebody who is outside of it. And definitely dieting will not fix your relationship with food. It may again, education may help you, because relationship with food is definitely a spectrum. And I talked to one of my mentors about this before. I was saying I found it really hard in the like industry to find where I fit, because I never want to tamper someone's relationship with food, but then like there's a side of like health and fitness that does, and then there's another side that's like body positive, like how do you fit in? And she was like, listen, there's a spectrum of people, and you'll start speaking to the people that you relate to. And I definitely feel like now I can find my voice. Like I used to cringe at the word fat loss. Like I could not say it, lads. I literally, like, if anyone knows me from back in the day, I would never, because I'd be so afraid of tampering people's relationships with themselves. But now I know so clearly my values and what I can provide and who I can work with and who I can help, so I'm not afraid to say it out loud, because I know that like there's a lot of people out there who aren't, you know, like really suffering with their relationship with food. There are a lot of people that are, but there's also a lot of people that aren't. So you can speak to the volume of people in between who are maybe a little bit of both. So as I said, your relationship with food will not get fixed for dieting, but it might get fixed from a little bit of education. When I say fixed, but it might be more educated so that you're more aware of it and then you're not harder on yourself. And with relationship with food, again, it is really important that you A, educate yourself, and B, understand that every single food can be included in your diet. There are no good foods. There are no bad foods. There are foods that are nutritionally dense and there's foods that are less nutritionally dense. And that is also okay. You need to tell yourself that, reinforce that every single time. You need to understand that your body is allowed everything. It's a vessel. It's incredible. Its functionality is amazing. And you are amazing. And you deserve fuel. And the only way to get fuel is to eat and to have good, nutritious food. And it's kind of like a car again, like we were saying about the race car. Like, think about it. Like, every so often you'll put a wee bit of red diesel in your yolk and she'll go, but she's smoking, you know? And then you'll have the good stuff. So if you predominantly put the good stuff in and then every so often put a wee bit of red in, like, you'll be grand. Nothing's gonna happen, you know what I mean? But maybe if you put red in all the time, you'll notice the car doesn't work as well and you don't feel good all the time. So red would be a little bit of like less nutrient dense food, and the good stuff, the good diesel or the good petrol, would be like more nutrient dense stuff. So you can have both, and I put both in my system, and you'll be grand, you know what I'm saying? So that's a good analogy, I think, to understand it as well. And again, as I said, I'm blanketing a lot of these things here, but hopefully it relates to the people who it does relate to, if that makes sense. Anyway, I hope that you enjoyed this podcast. I hope that it was helpful. If you did find it helpful, please let me know. Just share it on your stories if you wish, @RTFit, and I will reshare, because I love to see it. Or just send me a little message, because I love to know what you are enjoying or what type of topics or podcasts that you use do enjoy listening to. So if you have any ideas, you're thinking, oh Tara, would you like to talk about that, or would you mind like explaining that, I love chatting about it, because I do 2 weeks, so it is really good as well to get the information out. But as always, I appreciate you. Please make sure you rate the podcast, and yeah, share it with your friends if you enjoy it. Have a great day, and keep relit.